Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper. And just now, I'm in Mississippi, at Lake Washington, the 2025 Fish Camp. And I met a couple of people who I've known through the media for quite some time. It's Miss Polly Dean and Jimmy Jacobs. They have On the Fly South online magazine. Is that what you call it?
Web journal, online magazine.
Yeah, it's kind of the way things are going these days.
Oh, yeah. In this business, you just virtually have to make your own market these days.
That is absolutely true. But I take it both of you have been fly fishermen for the most of your lives, maybe?
Probably 30 years or so. I've worked for Game and Fish magazines in Marietta for 25 years, and I was a graphic artist. The other gentleman was a graphic artist. He was an avid fly fisherman, so that's where I
picked
learned.
It up, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I am glad. You know, I wrote for Game and Fish publications as a freelancer for about 28 years. I'm glad you weren't an editor, so maybe you didn't get to see my stuff.
I on the light table, I read every story. That's how
really?
I got.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Now I'm embarrassed. Well, yeah. Jimmy, you've been a writer for how many decades?
Well, I think I sold my first magazine article in 1985. So it's been a few years I've been doing it.
Oh, yeah.
But you were asking about how I got into fly fishing. You know, when I was a kid, our next door neighbor was always giving me these outdoor magazines, and I was reading about Ted Trueblood and Corey Ford, and I knew everything about trout fishing out west, living there in Georgia. Never seen a trout, never fished for one. And apparently I talked about it a lot. When I was about 13 years old, my dad was in the auto parts business, and he walks in one day. He traded two recap tires for a fly rod and reel for me.
Oh, I love those kind of stories.
And I started fishing in the local ponds for the bluegill and the bass, and that's how I got my start in fly fishing.
Well, mine was very, very similar. I come from Mississippi County, Missouri, down the Boot Hill, part of the Old South. And, of course, we had bayous that ran. We had one went right through our cotton farm, probably 5 miles from Mississippi River, and all kinds of big fish swam that bayou. Yeah. But I got fascinated with Outdoor Life magazine and reading about some of the fly fishermen. I was 7 or 8 years old. I was paying for my own subscription, but couldn't quite afford a fly rod. You know, that was pretty fancy because we had a wild cane patch on the place, and that's what we fished with, long cane poles. But when I was 10 years old, I was big enough, my dad thought I could start working out for other farmers after we got our crops laid by. I worked for two old bachelors down the road who had a gentleman probably 30 years old that lived in a shack on the place. The two of us worked together, and we generally worked 15 hours a day, sun up to sun down. Well, he was a pretty heavy drinker, but he up and bought a fly rod at Western Auto. It's kind of like a pool cue, you know, right. It's a bass rod with one of those old Shakespeare automatic reels on it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in my life. Well, he paid $26 for that on Saturday. By Monday, he drank up all of his week's paycheck. He set in on me, 10 years old, to buy that fly rod outfit. I said, how much? He said, well, $26. I said, well, you're nuts. I was working for 50 cents an hour. That's 52 hours work. On Thursday morning, I got it for $11.
A bargain.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of myself. The first adult I'd ever hoodooed, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But fly fishing outdoors has been good to me, and I know it has been to you guys, too. Right. But On the Fly South, how did that evolve?
Okay, well, Don Kirk over in Birmingham, Alabama, started Southern Trout Magazine.
I wrote for him for a while.
Online digital magazine. And he called me up and wanted me to be his Georgia editor. So I was writing for that. And then he gave me another call and said he wanted a spinoff, Southern Saltwater Fly Fishing Magazine. He wanted me to edit it. And, well, a chance to go fish the coasts of the southeast and into the Bahamas.
I'm envious.
Yeah. So I did that, but Don's health failed and he passed away. And Polly had been riding a little bit for the Southern Saltwater Fly Fishing. So we got to talking, and the third partner in our business is Claude Preston over in Birmingham. He was an associate editor of Southern Trout, handled a lot of the business part of it. The three of us got together and said, we can't let this die. So we just combined those two magazines, came up with the name On the Fly South, got the mailing list from those magazines, and in 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic, we decided we'll start a new business.
Oh, boy. You must have faith in yourselves.
Oh, yeah.
We did.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure.
And it's worked out well for us. You know, we've got about over 7,700 subscribers.
Really?
But last year, we had over 60,000 individuals read the magazine. So,
well, that speaks for itself.
We can't complain.
Well, of course, we all know what. I'll just ask the question, what was the biggest boom for fly fishing in the last 20, 25 years? A movie.
Well, a river runs through it.
River Runs Through It, yes. Yep. I tell everybody I played the Brad Pitt part in that movie.
Well, hey, I've been telling people the same thing.
Tom Skerritt, the father. Yeah. No, we noticed that a younger generation is picking up the hobby, it seems like, which is a good thing to see, because we're seeing quite a bit at the fly fishing shows and so forth, that you do have that younger generation that's into it. So.
That's always
and women,
exciting.
And,
so,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Brad Pitt might have had something to do with that, too.
Yeah.
Well, the fastest growing segment of the market is women getting into fly fishing. I'm sure Brad Pitt had something to do with that.
Absolutely. If I remember the figures right, I think the year after that movie came out, fly rod sales went up like 700%.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good time to be in that market.
It's probably true. Yeah.
But it has continued to grow, and of course, we're so fortunate in this country to have the natural resources that we have, whether we're talking about the South, the East, the West, even the Midwest. A lot of times, people don't think about the Midwest being, you know, a trout fishing or fly fishing destination, but Missouri Ozarks, well, right where I live in Cuba, Missouri, with an hour and a half of me, I got nine rivers I can get to fly fish besides lakes and ponds, so it's pretty incredible.
You know, that's one thing we aim at with On the Fly South is most people think, well, fly fishing, you're trout fishing, aren't you? Well, no, we go for anything that'll hit a fly, and that's about anything that's in water. So, you know, our coverage areas, we cover everything from Texas, Oklahoma, up through Kentucky, into the Virginias, down to Florida, the Caribbean, and Central America. And there's fish everywhere that you can catch on fly.
We just today, just talking with our, you know, professional crappie fishermen, husband wife team, and they're asking us about fly fishing, and just I don't think they were aware you could go after saltwater species with a fly, or that we could do what we were doing today with crappie on the lake or something with the, so it's just they think of it as being limited to certain species, maybe trout, but they really, we catch anything that swims on a fly.
Exactly. I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're missing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an education, and they're kind of intrigued by that.
Well, it's always fun to teach new people about fly fishing.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have taught hundreds, if not thousands. Do you teach classes?
Well, I did at one point. At one point I did some community school classes for fly fishing, and you know, I tried guiding for a couple of years too, and decided I didn't have the mentality for that, because I could tell people there's a fish over there by that rock, toss it over there, and they throw it the wrong place, and it didn't bother them at the end of the day, but it was killing me that they weren't catching fish. I just can't stand this.
Well, we help a lot with Camp Sunshine, or a lot of the children's or the veterans, or something like teaching fly fishing too.
Camp Sunshine is a kids camp for cancer. Cancer.
Children that have cancer.
And that's based out of where?
Camp Twin Lakes we go to in Rutledge, Georgia. But they have just, I think, different locations. Camp Sunshine is one of the camps for
just east of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys stay really, excuse me, really busy in the fly fishing world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, that's another thing we try to do with our On the Fly South is rather than just talk fishing, it's the lifestyle of fishing. You know, when you travel to fly fish, we tell people about, oh, there's a pretty good restaurant here, nice places to stay, stuff attractions you should see in this area, and also where the good dive bars are at. You can go drink away your blues after not catching the fish.
Yeah, I'm sure that helps too.
Yep.
And but, the thing, and like even the Bahamas or going anywhere, fly fishermen, they do like the whole lifestyle is not about having a 40 fish day. They're happy with, you know, two or three fish, and then they want to go have a nice meal or stay at a nice place or have fun. And so they don't use up the resource. I think that's why the Bahamas has been quite, you know, worked with fly fishermen quite a bit, and they learn the appeal to fly fishermen that don't deplete the resource there.
And so, you've seen that change in your lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because I know the Bahamas, I guess, kind of got fished out for a period of time, and their conservation efforts really seem to improve.
They have, and also schools that train young Bahamians to be guides to stay in the Bahamas and earn a living, and you get in the hospitality or conservation, you can be a guide, and they've learned the value of visit fishermen and tourism.
And most people who think of the Bahamas, they're thinking of Nassau or Freeport.
Right.
And you know, those got pounded for years. But what they call the home islands, the out islands, I mean, a lot of those are just pristine out there. There's no real heavy pressure. They're great fishing and safest place in the world. You leave Nassau or Freeport to any place else in the Bahamas, you can walk around the middle of the night and you feel safe down there. And the nicest people in the world.
And boy, that's worth a ton this day and time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I watched in the Yucatan, where the commercial fishing really has ruined the fishing in a lot of places. And a lot of the old-time fishermen that used to be commercial fishermen are now tour guides.
Yeah.
And they're actually, they're improving their fisheries down there finally now. I don't know if they'll ever get back to the point it was in the 40s and 50s and 60s. But, you know, gives you hope when you see efforts start.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It does.
Well, that's one thing the Bahamas has done very recently is they've virtually run the Chinese fishermen out of their waters because, you know, that was it. They were coming in there and just raping the water, taking everything out of it. So they've pretty much solved that problem.
Well, kudos to them.
Yep.
We love to hear those stories and see those kinds of things happen. Yeah. Well, where do you see On the Fly South going? What's the hopes?
Well,
and dreams. It's great already. How do you get better?
Yeah, our whole problem is that our biggest problem is we're too successful because, you know, you can read On the Fly South for free. So our advertisers sustain us.
Right.
The only problem is every time you add advertisers, you got to start writing more stories. So, you know, we're at the point where, you know, we've recently started using some freelance writers in there simply because we're having to do more writing than we can do.
Yeah.
So we have a great field to work in there. There's a lot. Our universe is big, and we're just barely into it.
We have people that say, well, you should expand. You should cover the whole world. You know, it shouldn't just be the Southeastern United States of the Caribbean. It's like, but no, I mean, everybody asks me, where's your favorite place to fish? And it's like, I don't have a favorite place, but it is anywhere, literally, anything is a favorite is somewhere I've never been before, a new water to fish. So I could be jumping in the car, driving to Alabama, you know, just across the state or something to another location I've never been is just as exciting and thrilling to me as
absolutely. New places, new people,
right?
To the islands or something. So we have a number of places to cover in the Southeast that I'd say so.
You keep filling that magazine pages up anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so attractive. Now that comes from your background, I would say, Polly.
Oh, yeah. She is the photographer. But if you'll notice, she's in all of the photos because we can't get her to quit fishing.
Yeah. Ain't surprised they have to pay to get you, right?
Yeah. That's
the way it goes. Hey, well, listen, we're going to take a short break. But folks, don't go away. We're going to talk more fly fishing in the second segment with Polly Dean and Jimmy Jacobs.
Our forefathers gave us a Bill of Rights. One of those is the right to step in the front door of Pond Center, where the faint sound of eagles screeching from on high a bounding purple mountain's majesty browse the walls full of glorious firearms. It's hard not to shed a patriotic tear as your red, white, and blue blood becomes fortified by the sight of true freedom. Pond Center, located at 408 Highway 72 East in Rolla, Missouri. Or give us a call at 573-426-GUNS.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey there, listeners. At Conservation Federation of Missouri, we're more than just advocates for our environment. We're active in making a difference through hands-on programs that protect and preserve Missouri's natural resources. By becoming a member, you're supporting impactful initiatives like Share the Harvest, which provides venison to families in need, and Operation Game Thief, which helps combat poaching and protects our wildlife. You're also contributing to the RISPR grants, which fund local conservation projects across the state. Your membership makes these vital programs possible, ensuring that we continue to serve both our communities and our environment. Plus, as a member, you'll receive updates on these programs, invitations to exclusive events, and the opportunity to get involved in the work you care about most. Visit confedmo.org/join to learn more and to join us today. Together, we can support programs that protect Missouri's wildlife, waters, and way of life. Be a part of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, where action leads to conservation.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the Northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
This is Dan from the White Buffalo Fly Shop, your gateway to Missouri's blue ribbon trout streams and world-class smallmouth water. Whether you're headed to Mill Creek, the Kern, or the Gasconade, we've got the flies, the gear, and the local know-how to help you fish with confidence. If you're looking to sharpen your casting skills, join one of our hands-on clinics. Or if you'd like to craft your own fly rod, build it with us in one of our rod building courses. You're always welcome in our fly tying nights to swap stories, share patterns, and get the latest hatch reports. White Buffalo Fly Shop is more than just a place to gear up. It's a hub for our local community. You'll find us at 605 North Pine Street in Rolla or online at whitebuffaloflyshop.com.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Hindman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I hope you caught that first segment with Polly Dean and Jimmy Jacobs. They're with On the Fly South. This is an online magazine. If you haven't seen it, be sure to take a bit of time and look it up.
It's free to read.
Free to read. Doesn't get any better than that. Man, I'm old enough. I've been told a million times there's nothing free anymore.
Yeah.
So But we know that you put a lot of work in it. You do get out and sell the advertising to make this work. And it's beautiful. Every time it comes out, I don't look at it just once. I often think of the days as a kid and I get my hands on an Outdoor Life magazine.
Yep.
I'd wear that thing out. Mm. It's hard to wear them out online.
That's right.
Well, Jimmy, how did you get started in this business?
It was a long and tortured road, sort of, that actually, when I came out of high school, I got offered a scholarship to play baseball and basketball at Georgia State University in Atlanta.
And doing better than that.
I went down there, I got to my junior year, and my counselor told me, you know, most people who go to college eventually pick a major. they do?
Yeah.
Well, I knew some guys who were in the journalism school, and right there in the state capital, you know, your assignments were go down to the stadium and watch Atlanta Braves play and report on that, or go down to the legislature, which was six blocks away, and sit in on the legislature. That sounded pretty exciting, so I thought, make me a journalism major. And it turned out that I had an ability to write a little bit. So I graduated, and I went around to all the local newspapers and PR agencies applying for a job. And meanwhile, I had a part-time job in a warehouse for Sears Roebuck. Yeah. After about 3 months of that, my manager at Sears came in and asked me if I was tired of fooling around, I'd like to go into management training at Sears. And then he told me what they paid, and it was about twice what a newspaper would start you at. And I told him I always wanted to be a retailer. So I did that for 17 years. And then then it came up that they were going to consolidate the buying offices I was in into Chicago. And they were going to lay off a bunch of people, but they'd be transferring some people to Chicago. And my time came in. I went into the room with the lady from HR, who looked like a librarian with a bun and very serious. And she sat in right a minute telling me I was one of the lucky ones. I'd be moving to Chicago on such and such a date.
Yeah, that sounds lucky.
They'd be helping me with housing and get me into job placement up there. And I said, wait a minute, I'd rather kiss a pig than move to Chicago. So I parted company with Sears at that point. I'd been doing a little bit of freelance writing for Georgia Sportsman magazine there in Marietta. And so they gave me a golden handshake for a year. And just as that money was running out at the end of the year, out of the blue, I got a call from the publisher at Georgia Sportsman, said their editor was leaving them. Would I like to come in and apply for the job?
Wow.
I said, well, I don't have a job. I believe I will. As it turned out, and it's one of the dirty secrets of outdoor riding, there are a lot of outdoor riders who know a lot about their sports. They're experts at it. And they have a passing understanding of the English language.
Right.
So I'd been sending them good, clean copy. They figured I could clean somebody else's up. And plus, I lived local, so I didn't have to pay moving expenses to get me. So I think that's why they hired me.
He was a cheap ride, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I sat in that chair for 25 years then.
Really? Wow. Now, it's so interesting to hear stories like that help people. I know you've had it said it to you many, many times, and I have too, particularly from buddies. UPS buddies were the worst, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the comment many, many times, Cooper, you think you know everything about the outdoors. I said, no, I don't, but I know the people that do.
Exactly.
And that's one of the advantages of being in the outdoor communication business.
Right.
And I know one of our UPS buddies passed away a couple of years ago, and talking to his son at the visitation, I said, you know, I wrote quite a few stories about your father. He was quite a bass fisherman. He said, yeah, he was. I said, well, I don't think a single one of the stories were true, but I printed them anyway.
Fishermen don't lie.
Another great thing about being in this business is the people you meet.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and Polly was talking about how she got into fly fishing. Tell us how you learned to double haul a fly rod, Polly.
I was probably working a booth at the Atlanta Fly Fishing Show, and Spanish Fly, Jose, Wahebe, those people I'd meet and everything, Lefty Cray. But anyway, I was out on the pond with another gentleman, I can't remember, from North Carolina, was teaching me how to double haul, and I guess Lefty must have been somewhere that he could he was watching him. And anyway, I didn't know it at the time, but I was in the booth and Lefty came walking over and said, "Young lady, I can teach you to double haul." You know, he goes, "I can teach a 9-year-old to double haul." Now, if you've ever seen Lefty Cray when he's doing his demos on the pond and he's, you know, kind of, he's
working the magic.
Funny, but he is kind of, you know, you're kind of scared to death of him as well. But anyway, he said, "I can teach you how to double haul and 10 minutes. And it's like, well, you can't say no to Lefty Cray. I was scared to death. But anyway, so he took me in the back room.
They disappeared behind the curtains for.
Oh, really?
We're not sure what was going on back there.
But he did. He showed me the exercise and everything. And I learned to double. I practiced, but I learned from him.
Wow. So. Now, that's quite a story. Not everybody can say that.
No.
But that's the kind of experiences you stack up in this business.
Yeah.
That was not her first experience with Lefty, though. This was several years before that. Tom Earnhardt up in North Carolina on the Outer Banks was the guru of false albacore fishing up there. And we had gone up to
Harker's Island.
Yeah, Harker's Island, going to do the November run of false albies. Well, Tom was having a cookout in his backyard, so he invited a bunch of people over, and we got invited to that. Got over there, and it was a big to-do. A lot of people there, so it's hard to find a parking spot. So I let Polly out at the front yard. She goes around the house. I go find a parking spot. I come back around there, and I find her, and I said, "Were you okay?" She says, "Oh, yeah, I was just talking to those two older gentlemen over there." I look over there, and it's Lefty Cray and Bob Clouser.
Oh, my. She knew how to pick them, didn't she?
Yeah. I didn't know who they were. Well, I didn't.
Well, isn't it incredible, though, how things like that happen to people you meet? One of my favorite people in the fly fishing world is up in our part of the country, Mark Van Patten. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've heard that name. And I actually got Mark, I nominated him, got him into the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, and got to actually do the induction myself a couple of years ago. But Mark Van Patten is one of the most incredible stories in the outdoor world, period. He was raised in Los Angeles, and his parents were pretty serious druggies. And Mark, by the time he was 12 years old, had been shot twice for gangs. And he actually had a contract out on his life. And he watched his best buddy die when he was shot in the head by a homemade pipe pistol, you know, 12 years old. But he was scared enough, he took off hitchhiking to Missouri. He knew his grandparents lived out south of Lebanon, Missouri, or somewhere. So he caught one ride on a semi-truck. The guy was going to Lebanon, Missouri, of all things. But he kicked him out of Lebanon. He just headed south walking, going down a gravel road. An old gentleman stopped and picked him up and asked him where he was going. He said, well, he wasn't sure. He's going to Granny Kirk's. He didn't even know her last name. And the guy knew him and took Mark to the farm and dumped him off on the front porch on a Saturday. Well, they were gone for the weekend fly fishing. He sat there till Sunday evening until Grandma and Grandpa showed up. And they raised this boy and taught him to fly fish. He started the stream team program in Missouri. There's over 7,500 of them now.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But even more incredible about Mark, gosh, it's been over 30 years ago. He got cancer, tumors behind both eyes, and was losing his vision. This guy was an incredible rod builder and fly tire. He started building fly rods blindfolded, if you can imagine such a thing. But he finally got the tumors, the growth stopped, and he only lost his peripheral vision. But that guy's, he did a, the public broadcasting system did a TV show for 22 years called The Tying Bench. Mm-hmm. Just an incredible show. Written books.
Yep.
Now, he started all this when he started a stream team program. He had a high school degree and got interested in entomology and studying all the stream insects and life, and started a stream team program that became so popular, the Conservation Federation hired him. Then the conservation department got a little jealous. They hired him away and demanded he get a fisheries biology degree. They paid for it. He did a 4-year degree in 2 years and then was over a third of the state. And today, gosh, he's a few years younger than me, but after he retired from MDC, he's been a seasonal naturalist with the National Park Service and still teaching fly fishing lessons.
That's a great story.
Isn't it a great story? Yeah. I just love hearing those sorts of things. But you guys have had a similar career.
Yep.
You know, you've been around a long, long time.
It's something about this industry, and I've worked for a lot of magazines. Fishing Tackle Retailer was one. So it was just any people in the fishing business. It wasn't fly fishing. It was all retailers, all manufacturers. And you just realize it's a great field and it's great people. And they're in it for the passion. They all have the passion. That's absolutely all it is. It's not because they're going to get rich or anything. They're fortunate, and I'm fortunate if we can do what we love and, you know, or make a living afford to do it. Because
I'm facing 76 this year, and people keep asking me, you know, I think some of them want my job, you know. When you going to quit? Well, every January, the only resolution I ever make, I'm going to quit this year. I've made that for the last 15 years, I think.
Yeah.
But it's just too much fun. It's hard to quit, particularly.
It is.
You get opportunities just like we're enjoying right now at a fishing camp, of all things, that is sponsored, you know.
Right.
We had a great dinner tonight, met some new people, got some exciting things coming up tomorrow. Right. And this community has just jumped all over this fishing camp.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody working together can make great things happen.
Yeah.
Well, Polly, I got to ask you, having been fly fishing, I wouldn't dare ask you how old you are or how many years you've been in fly fishing. But earlier in the program, we talked about women coming into fly fishing. Now, I'm sure you're a great inspiration to ladies and young gals coming in out there. What do you see as far as, you know, the female side of things? Is it going to continue to grow?
I think it will. I think women, and I see young women and teenagers and in their 20s and college age women, I think they're seeing it as something they want. They're not intimidated. They're not scared or anything. They're jumping right in. And there's a lot of manufacturers of women's products and waders and so forth and that are recognize that. So I think it's, you know, one of the tips I have is to join a club, a local fishing club, because that
absolutely
making yourself, they have trips, you know, just kind of, you know, with other people, and just, you know, you have more opportunity and just forces yourself to get out and go. And because that is a hard thing to find the time to fish. You might find the passion, but then you kind of, life gets in the way and everything. So you got to make time
absolutely
to do it. So joining a club or something like that.
Hey, it cuts light years off the learning process.
Yeah,
doesn't
it does.
Plus you're with like-minded people. And it's just so exciting. My wife fly fishes some, not as much as she used to do. You know, when grandkids kind of started coming along, it's hard to compete with old little guys.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But she's still a pretty good fly fisherman.
Yep.
And, great smallmouth fisherman. I don't even want to get into that. She thumps me when it comes to smallmouth fishing, you know. But it is great to see the ladies out there. And it's good to hear that you think it's going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
Because there's so much, again, so many natural resources that we have available to us, and most everybody can find a place to fly fish in this day and time.
And I will say, as far as, because, you know, being Jimmy and I, you know, a man and a woman on a team, we travel a lot, and I do find that guides or something in a new area they have an easier time talking to the woman or teaching her than they are to the man.
I'm
okay with that. You know, so that's a good thing, because I'm writing notes and everything I learned. So I can, you know, and so that's just something men, you know, before a man will critique Jimmy or something, they won't have a problem doing that to me. So, okay.
On the other hand, a couple of times on trips down to the Bahamas, we'd be out with a guide, and he'd pull up on the flat, and he'd tell me to get out of the boat.
Yeah.
And I'm out there waiting on my own while Polly's in the boat.
Take care of Polly.
Yeah.
I teased my wife. I got the photographs of her down in the Yucatan. Took her down with me one time, and one of the first people I met down there, I went down originally to do a duck hunting seminar, and first time in the Yucatan, I ran a few extra days, and a gentleman running a duck hunting operation introduced me to a Captain Encalada. Captain Encalada was a tall, dark, very handsome, suave-talking Mexican, you know. Mm-hmm. And he worked part-time for Camp H.A. State Tourism Commission and took me up with them. Well, my wife saw me how much fun we was having. She wanted to go down. But I found out what she was really interested in. They kicked me out on the bank.
Oh,
to,
yeah.
The video, you know, while he's got his arms wrapped around her, oh, you know, teaching her how to use that fly rod. Really big grin on her face. You know?
Oh, yeah. That happens quite often. Actually.
Hey, nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, he's a sweetheart, and we've had so many, wow, years of fun down there. You know, and that's a relationship that just started on one invitation, right. And it just snowballed. I've actually worked part-time down there now for almost 15 years and just met so many incredible people, and a lot of it through fly fishing. That's
Well, the fly fishing gives you a chance to give back, too. For instance,
good point.
You know, we got involved back in 2002 with the they had the Redbone Fishing Tournament, which mm-hmm. originated down in Alamorada, Florida, and then they started doing a circuit of other places, and they started one down in Brunswick, Georgia, St. Simon's Island, the Golden Isles Red Trout Celebrity Tournament
for cystic fibrosis.
It raised money for cystic fibrosis, and they had invited us to come down. We handled the scoreboard for them, and then they had the celebrity category. But they couldn't afford to bring in a lot of celebrities.
Yeah.
So they'd get one big celebrity each year to come in, and they'd make me their other celebrity.
There you go.
So I was sort of the whipping boy. Go out and fish against Stu Abb and people like this.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Stu Abb's books, man.
Yeah.
Great, great guy.
But we raised a lot of money for cystic fibrosis for about a decade down there.
Well, there's quite a number of fly fishing organizations now. I've worked a little bit with one called Real Recovery. Mm-hmm. They take guys out that have got cancer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of that, some of the guys go, don't even fish, you know, but they're among a bunch of other guys. And just get them away from the problem for a day. You know?
Yeah, and veterans and wounded veterans.
Exactly. Yeah, there's all kinds of groups anymore. Yeah. And just, I know in the Missouri Ozark, gosh, we got fly fishing clubs all over the place. Closest one to me is Ruby Doo.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Ben Patton actually started that. That was stream team number one, a fly fishing club in the state of Missouri. Now 7,500 of them. But fly fishing, gosh, we could talk about it forever. Three of us sitting here, I think, you know. But what, I mean, coming down to, if you just had to put it in two or three sentences, what has fly fishing done to your lives?
Well, it made my career, you know, really. That I got into something I really liked. You know, it's a lifestyle that, you know, I get the same question. Are you ever going to quit working?
Why would you?
Do you call this work?
Yeah, I said, I will when I drop dead.
Yeah.
It's a passion, and I think it's just the people I've met along the way and the whole community of fly fishing. Any club, any dinner. And I mean, I could walk into an airport and see another person with a fly rod, and I can sit there and talk to them for 6 hours. You know, we could just, I mean, that's all. There it is, just such a shared passion. So it's just the,
well,
it's that.
I'm sure you, even at our ages, you still got dreams. You still think about the place you'd like to go or somebody you haven't met yet. Now, I'm going to tell you a last wild story here that, I want to see if you've ever thought about anything like this, but I thought after I retired, I bought probably 30 books on fly fishing, and I've been reading those things like crazy. And I got to investigating, and I got all excited. Before I kicked the bucket, I'm going to get a PhD degree in fly fishing literature. And, you know, there were two universities in the United States that taught that. One was Pennsylvania State,
Penn State.
Yeah.
Both of those degrees were taught through the religion department. For real.
Well,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of books written about the spirituality of fly fishing.
Right.
Now, Penn State program went under. I talked to them at Washington State, and every course has to be done on campus. I'm thinking I'm going to get two-thirds of it done online, you know. So May not get that one done, but boy, was it ever a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, I did get a lot of reading done.
Oh, yeah.
Well, guys, man, it's been just an absolute pleasure to meet y'all in person because I've read you for years
Same
and years.
Yeah.
And I guess you read my stuff and I didn't know it. I hope too much of it didn't go in pile 13, you know. But I give credit to a lady when I first came to the Ozarks and kind of started writing a little bit. I wrote for a little newspaper. This Ava Veedman, I just recognized her in a speech I did for a groundhog dinner, of all things, recently. And she was one of the first editors I had. And I said, that lady must have had a 55-gallon barrel full of red pencils.
Oh, yeah.
She butchered me pretty good, but taught me so much, you know, and so grateful. In fact, that's the only publication that I write for free, just in honor of Miss Veedman, you know, for what she did for me. But we all had helpers along the way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, guys, again, a great pleasure to have you on. Hope we can do it again sometime. Hope I have a little better voice next time. Mm-hmm. But folks, from Polly Dean, Jimmy Jacobs, myself, Bill Cooper, we're living our outdoor dreams. We encourage you to get into the outdoors and live your dreams as well.
People love a good mustache. People also love a good firearm. The fine people down at Pond Center like both. They have the largest selections of firearms in the area, and with a friendly, knowledgeable staff of hombres to help you pick the gun that's right for you. You could end up riding into the sunset with a gun you love. Find them at pc72guns.com, on shelf, in store, online, or give them a call at 573-426-GUNS. That's Pond Center. Guns welcome. Mustache appreciated.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.